Take your Bibles, if you would, and find John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. I want to direct your attention to the very familiar story in the Word of God. I know that you've heard this story your whole life, but I want to read just a few verses. This story is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels, but John's account of it is certainly the sort of the Cliff Notes version of it. It's the shorter version, but I want to read a few verses here from John chapter number 6. If you don't mind, out of respect for the public reading of the Word of God, would you join me in standing when we read this? And I know, of all folks, you know, as we read, we're not just reading black print on a white page. We are reading the very words of our God. John chapter number 6. I want to begin reading verse number 16, and then just a few verses down to verse number 21. You're familiar with the story. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "When even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Let me pray and ask God's blessing on the reading of his word. Father, we love you today again. Thank you for allowing us to be in this place. I thank you for every faculty member that is here, the staff, and certainly the students. We ask you'll bless this time now that we have to look into your word. I pray it'll be a profitable time. May we hear from you. And I understand all these that have gathered here today, they don't need to hear just another sermon, but we do need to hear from you. So I pray that's what would happen this morning. Bring glory and honor to yourself. And I pray that you would help us all this morning. We'll thank and we'll praise you for what you'll do. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my humble opinion, I think one of the greatest pieces of Christian literature ever written is a poem/hymn entitled "God Moves in a Mysterious Way" by William Cooper. It's a poem that was written in 1774. And I have often quoted this poem in sermons that I have preached, but I've quoted it even more times just to myself. But I must confess that there's a particular line in this poem that I don't know that I've ever really thought about carefully until I was looking over this story in John chapter number 6. It's right there in the opening verse of the poem. Cooper wrote these words: "God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea, and he rides upon the storm." Now, I don't know for certain that Mr. Cooper had the story of Jesus walking on the stormy sea in mind whenever he wrote that particular verse, but that is what I'm going to imagine from here forward whenever I read or I quote that line. Like many of you, I have heard this particular Bible story since I was just a child. More times probably than I can even number. I've been told this story of how Jesus walked on the water in the middle of a storm to get to his disciples. As I have pondered that truth afresh and again over the past several days, I found myself wondering and thinking, what a mysterious way for our Lord to move. What a strange and extraordinary thing for Jesus to ride on a storm to get to his friends out on that lake. But it just reminds me that, you know, that's still how Jesus often works today. You see, friends, many times Jesus will step into your life at the peak of a storm. And he'll do it stepping on the very waves and waters that are threatening to sink your life. Many times that's exactly how he'll work. Well, as we look over John's record of this familiar Bible story, we're reminded again of the very thing that John's been trying to teach us all along, and that is who Jesus is. John's gospel, his purpose all along is to point us to Jesus and to lift up Jesus as the Son of God. And he is the Savior upon whom we can and must trust even when the stormy weather blows in our lives. So with all of that in mind, I want us to notice what we can learn from about Jesus in this scene and in this storm. I think there's three things we learn about Jesus in this scene. First of all, I think we learn that sometimes Jesus sovereignly waits in the storm. Sometimes Jesus sovereignly waits in the storm. Now let's just sort of catch up to where we are in the context. You're familiar with the chapter. Earlier in the chapter is that very familiar story how Jesus fed the multitude with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. A miracle meal took place. Well, now that meal is over, the crowd's been dispersed, and Jesus just sort of disappears, and he vanishes up into the mountain by himself. Well, that evening, John says in verse number 16 that his disciples went down unto the sea. Matthew tells us that Jesus told them to do that. He constrained them to go down, get in the boat, go on over before me. Verse number 17, that's exactly what they do. They get in the boat. But then John adds this line, and Jesus was not come to them. That tells me they were expecting him. That tells me that apparently they were looking for Jesus to show up at some point in their journey, but he didn't. He didn't come when they thought he would. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you're waiting for the Lord to show up and make an appearance, and it just seemed like he was stalled, like he was waiting for some reason before he came? One writer called these Jesus' gracious delays. Well, I want to tell you, they don't seem very gracious at the time they're going on. But I want you to understand this morning that his sovereign pauses. Those times in your life and mine when he waits before he works, those are good for us. Let me show you what I mean by that. Notice how this plays out in the story. Notice, first of all, that he waited until it was dark. Jesus sovereignly waited until it was dark. Verse 17 says, he entered into a ship, went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. And Jesus was not come to them. The idea behind that phrase, it was now dark, is that it had gotten on up into the night. It was dark 30, as a friend of mine used to say. And yet the sovereign Lord knew just exactly what time it was. The other gospel writers tell us that he waited until way, way up into the night before he finally showed up and came to them. Can I just remind you young people of something this morning? Sometimes the Lord will let it get dark in your life. Sometimes he'll let the sun set and the night fall upon you before he ever shows up and you ever see or hear anything of him. And here's the thing, in the darkness we don't see quite as well. Things aren't quite as clear in the dark as they were in the day. Of course, our bodies in the dark at night, our bodies get weary, we get tired. We want to go to sleep, we want the whole thing to be over with. But listen, sometimes he's going to let it get dark in our lives. The nighttime can be harder on us than the day. But don't you ever forget that in the beginning, He created not only the day, but he also created the night. The day and the night both belong to him. Psalm 74, 16 says, the day is thine and the night also is thine. What I'm trying to tell you is that Jesus may let it get dark in your life before he ever shows up. But don't you worry, he won't have any trouble finding you in the nighttime. He knows exactly where you are. He sees you right now, even if you can't see him. You notice here that he waited until it was dark. But did you notice he also waited until it was difficult? Jesus waited until it was difficult. Verse 18 says, the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. One writer said, he described it this way, the sea began to churn. That's a good picture. Began to churn. The sea there, of course, is a reference to the Sea of Galilee. And you've studied the Sea of Galilee. You've read how that the mountains around that particular sea and the cold air from those mountains can rush down the hillside and onto that lake, and you could go on that lake from a very clear, calm day and at one moment, and it just seemed like a few moments later, you could be in the middle of a storm. Well, apparently here in just a matter of minutes, these disciples found themselves in the middle of a squall. It was a storm that was making their journey to the other side difficult, not to mention dangerous. Verse 19 says that they tried to row their boat in that storm. It seems like maybe they'd gone too far to turn back now, and so they decided they would just try to lean against it. But based on what we know about the size of the lake and how far John says they managed to go, they weren't making much progress. One writer says, I don't know if this is true, but he said in about 8 or 9 hours, they only managed to row about 3 miles. But in your mind's eye, I just want you to see those disciples in that boat. Their legs and their backs and their arms are burning. They're tired. They are exhausted and they're soaking wet, not just with the seawater, but with their own sweat. These fellas are struggling. And where is Jesus in the midst of all of this blowing and rowing? He's waiting. He's waiting all night long while they struggle in that storm. He let this difficulty come upon them before he comes to them. Can I just tell you this morning, anybody that told you that the Christian life is an easy ride straight up lied to you. This TBN notion of easy breezy Christianity, Rolex watches and Rolls Royces and no sickness and all that garbage, listen, it's a lie. Anybody that told you the Christian life is going to be easy, anybody told you that ministry is going to be easy, lied to you. The old ship of Zion is a battleship, not a carnival cruise ship. And our Lord doesn't mind a bit letting things get difficult for you. He doesn't mind a bit allowing you to get stretched as you strain against the storm. He doesn't mind letting it get difficult. And sometimes He'll sovereignly wait in that storm. There's a song a number of years ago before most of you were born back in the 70s, and there's a line in there that the waiting is the hardest part. Well, we don't like to wait. But the thing is, God don't mind a bit to wait. And you listened this morning, God doesn't mind to wait at the beginning of a storm if He knows it'll bring Him more glory at the end of the storm. So sometimes He will sovereignly wait. But something else we learn about Jesus from this story, sometimes He will sovereignly wait in the storm. But number two, we learn that sometimes Jesus supernaturally walks through the storm. Sometimes He supernaturally walks through the storm, when these disciples are exhausted from their fight with the sea and the storm. They look out through the rain and the wind and the waves. And John says in verse number 19 that they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing nigh unto the ship. Right here is the heart of the story. These disciples are struggling out in that storm, but Jesus amazingly appears to them, supernaturally stepping on that raging sea as if it were a paved sidewalk. He let that storm blow up only long enough for Him to show up and supernaturally demonstrate to them His power over all things. Can I just tell you this morning, in much the same way, your particular problem this morning may be the very platform that Jesus walks out on to show you more of His glory. Those very waves that you think are going to drown you and destroy you, Jesus may come and step upon them to remind you that He is Lord over all. Think about this with me in the story. A couple of things. I want you to notice, I think where He steps is important in this story. Where He steps is important. Again, John says that He's walking on the sea. On the surface of the water is where He steps and He plants His foot in the middle of a storm. Now, how does this happen? Well, truthfully, this is just another one of those signs that John keeps talking about, one of those miracles in John's gospel. This is just a miraculous, supernatural work that only Jesus can do. And just like all of the other signs in the gospel, it pointed to Jesus and who He is even more than what He could do. So what is the point of this walking on the water? I love what one writer said. He said, well, it wasn't just theatrics, I can assure you of that. And he points out that the greatest fear that these disciples would have had at that particular moment was that they were going to be tossed overboard into that water, and they were going to feel those waves come closing in over their heads just before they drown. Then he says, Jesus walking on that boiling sea was showing them that what they thought was going to be over their heads was already under His feet. You see, whenever you read this story and you see Jesus walking on the water, here's what you ought to believe. That whatever you think is going to overwhelm you has already been overcome and overruled by Jesus. He said, in this world you will suffer tribulation, but just be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. All things are under His feet. He's ascended over all of His enemies. And nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of Christ in Him. So I think where He steps is important. But I would say, number two, what He says is inspiring. What He says is inspiring. Now, it's sort of funny to me that the sight of Jesus walking on the water was not immediately encouraging to these disciples in the boat. John just says they were simply afraid. Matthew tells us they thought they were seeing a ghost. They thought it was a phantom. They thought it was paranormal activity. And understandably so. When have you seen somebody walking on a stormy sea? But notice in verse number 20, he says, but He saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. I love that. That phrase, it is I, is the same one translated in other places, I am. You see, in one sense, Jesus was simply identifying himself to his disciples. It's me, fellas. Calm down. Stop your crying. It's going to be all right. But there's more to it than that. That phrase, I am, it's the same one, as you know, that God used to speak of himself. Moses said, so you want me to go down there to Egypt and lead all those people out? Who do you want me to tell them sent me? Tell them I am sent you. Jesus, standing on the water that night, was identifying himself to his disciples. But more than that, he was identifying himself with his Father. You understand, don't you? Because he is the I am, that's why he could walk on water. Because he is the I am, that's why he could say to his disciples, don't be afraid, fear not. As you read through this story, we need to recognize something, I think, very, very important. Many times it is not just what Jesus will show to you, but it is what he will say to you that will bring the most peace to your heart in the middle of a storm. And here's why I say that. I may not immediately recognize it when Jesus is walking on my storm, but I always know what his voice sounds like when he speaks peace to my troubled soul. So I would just say to you, you never know. In those times in your night, look, Jesus may show up and say, it is I, son, be not afraid. Everything's going to be all right. What he says is inspiring. But I think there's a third thing that we learn about Jesus. And I can see my time's getting close to being gone, so let me hurry on. Three things we learn about Jesus. Sometimes he sovereignly waits in the storm. Sometimes he supernaturally walks on the storm through the storm. But then thirdly, we learn that sometimes Jesus swiftly works out our storm. He just swiftly works it out. Once Jesus arrived at the boat via his unusual route atop the water, John indicates that he joined them in the boat. Can I tell you one of the reasons I love Jesus? Because he'll get in the boat with me. He'll not just show up in my storm, but he'll join me right in the middle of it. A couple things I want you to see that happened when Jesus joined them in that boat. And notice with me, first of all, what he will give you. When you find yourself going through that storm, notice what he will give you. I love the way verse 21 reads. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Well, I imagine they did. After all they've been through that night, I imagine these boys are ready and willing for Jesus to get in the boat. And can I tell you something? Many times that's exactly how storms will work. God will allow the wind to blow. He'll allow things to happen in your life just so you will want him more. And then he'll show up when you want him, and he'll give you just what you want, himself. Jesus gave himself to these disciples. Can I just say to you this morning, Jesus may be letting you row a little while right now. He may be letting the wind blow against you and the storm rage against you, and he may be doing that just simply to get you to want him in the boat. And whenever you get to the point where all you really want is Jesus, he'll show up and give you what you want. He'll give you himself. He'll get in the boat and he'll make everything all right. Yes, he will. He'll give you himself. But I want you to notice the second thing we see here. We not only see what he will give you, but notice where he will get you. Where he will get you. There is at the very least a hint of another miracle in this text. I wonder if you caught it. You notice in verse number 21, they received Jesus into the boat, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. I mean, it seems by the reading of this that whenever Jesus joined them, he moved them from somewhere in the middle of that lake instantly to the other side where they were headed. Apparently there's a miracle that takes place. Jesus miraculously moved them, boat and all, to the other side. Listen to me very carefully. Can I just tell you, I don't really know how this story ends. I can't say for sure, but I can tell you this. Sometimes this is exactly how Jesus will work in our storms. One day you feel like you're about to drown. I mean, it's just pouring in on you. And you're wondering, how in the world are you going to make it? You're thinking, this is it. I'm not going to make it through this. But then all of a sudden the light breaks. Jesus comes walking out on the storm, gets in your boat, tells everything to sit down, calm down, and it's over. It's just over. And you roll into class the next day. And somebody says to you, how in the world did you get through that? And all you know how to say is, I don't know, other than Jesus brought me through it. You don't see all he does. You don't even know how he did it. But he'll move swiftly in your life and he'll get you to the other side. I'll give you this and I'll go. I remember when I was a kid, I never could seem to go to sleep in the car when our family would go on these long family trips. Now, my mom and my sister, they would be passed out like somebody shot them with a tranquilizer dart. But me and my dad would be the only two that would be awake, driving down the road 350 miles, listening to talk radio. It was wonderful. But I remember I wanted to go to sleep. I did. I knew if I went to sleep, the trip would go faster. Now, I knew it really wouldn't go faster, but at least it seemed that way to me. Can I tell you what Jesus will do sometimes? Sometimes Jesus will get in a boat with you, and he'll get up real close, and he'll allow you to lay your head over on him. And it'll allow you just to rest in his presence, that he is in charge. And before it's all over, you wake up and you're on the other side and it's just all over with. Some of you are struggling with some things right now, and I don't know what all's going on in your life, but I just want to tell you, you do realize that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins. Jesus plunged down into death to give you life. And I would say to you, a God that would go that far to save you eternally is not going to let you drown in the mess you're worried about right now. So I say to you, stop flapping your arms. Stop screaming like you're going to die. Just grab your oar and row a little farther and keep looking for him, because he just might be walking your way. You say, oh, it's dark, I can't hear. Then open your ears, because he might come to you and speak, hey, it's me. It's going to be all right. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and he rides upon the storm. Ye fearful servants, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and will break with blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord from feeble sense, but trust him in his grace. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Can I ask for every head to be bowed and every eye closed? Father, we love you today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this reminder from your word. Lord, I think of these kids that are here right now, and I don't know what's going on in their lives. I don't know what they're dealing with right now. Some of them may be dealing with their class load, thinking, I just can't do this. Some of them may be looking at the school bill and say, this is it. This is my last semester here. There might be things going on in their life physically. There might be things going on at home. And there's things going on in their lives. And Lord, some of them feel like the waves are crashing in over top of them right now. God, would you let them know that those waves that they think are over their head, that those waves are already under your feet. And anything they think might overwhelm them has already been overruled by you. And Lord, I pray that during these days, I pray that you would give them what they need and what they want the most. Give them yourself. Lord, thank you for how you work. Thank you for what you do in our lives. We love you now. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.